Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
And a good Friday morning to you. We welcome in our friend that we talk to every Friday at about 7:30 or so, Jeff Schwartz, former offensive lineman in the NFL. Jeff, it's snowing in Pittsburgh, so happy Friday, pal.
That sounds miserable, so sorry about that.
Yeah, I know.
Too early for that.
All right, let's go here, and we were talking about this just briefly here. This is phenomenal to me with the Antonio Brown news, right, that he played nine seasons plus that one game with the New England Patriots this year. It's not like some Gale Sayers stuff where there was some debilitating injury. He's never going to play football in the NFL again. That just blows me away to think about that in early November of 2019.
I don't think that's totally accurate, because if the NFL does clear him of wrongdoing or does not suspend him, I think a team will sign him in a heartbeat. I mean, I think that his talent is still immense. You saw he went to New England and was a model citizen for a week and a half he was there. I mean, he even sounded like Belichick at one of his little Thursday locker room press conference things. I totally think if the NFL decides to clear him in this and not suspend him, he'll be signed within a week. I can't imagine he's done playing. Now, if he gets suspended for a little bit of time, maybe that ends his career, but I don't think he's done.
How much does it scare teams? Because you wrote a really interesting piece the other day about how the NFL is a business, and that's what it all comes down to, is yeah. It's a business. And if an NFL team feels like they can win more games, which is going to make them more money, they'll do whatever it takes. I mean, Hunt is going to play for the Browns this weekend.
Yeah.
How much risk are teams willing to put on the line, though, when it's off-field away from the facility risk, as it is with Antonio Brown?
Look, here's the sad truth of it is, you guys know this, is that in the end, no one's going to care. Like, if he were signed with the Seahawks, let's say, right, they were talking about Russell Wilson wanting him, and, another incident came out, which would be very unfortunate, obviously, right? And everyone would have said, I told you so, right? The first one came out, now a second one came out. There'd be outrage on Twitter. People would write angry letters to the Seahawks. And then, like, in 6 months, no one would even know it happened, and we would continue playing football, and the Seahawks would continue, and they'd still sell out every game, and, they might lose a couple fans, but the money still's pouring in, right? I mean, that's the thing, right? In the end, and it's unfortunate, it doesn't really hurt the bottom line of the NFL. As ratings continue to go up, as more fans are turning into games, as TV rights deals are about to be up, so even more money is pouring in. And so the bottom line never really gets hurt by this, right? And that's why these guys keep getting jobs.
Right. Like, all of PETA and everybody else was going to stop and march on Heinz Field when the Steelers signed Mike Vick, and, like, none of that happened. None of it happened. He just went and played for the Steelers.
Here's the thing, too, is that we know that social media is, well, hopefully people know this, is a very small percent of America. Now, if the study is right, they say 2% of Americans tweet 90% of the time on Twitter. So our narrative of the way people feel about things is often because of 2% of America, which obviously we know is not representative of the majority. So, people on Twitter might be upset by it, but maybe the average fan just doesn't care. He just wants to root for his team, and if Antonio Brown's on the team, so be it. He just kind of forgets what he's done, and he roots for him in those 3 hours of their game. So I think that has to be considered in how we view if he'll be back on the team or not, or A team.
Okay, let's talk football now, because I have a very simple question that probably has a very difficult answer, if there's an answer at all. How the hell do you block Aaron Donald?
Well, teams have been doing it a little better this year. The Rams have no one else to worry about, so teams are doubling and tripling Aaron Donald. The best way to do it is you really need to get off on the snap count. So you have to make sure that your Ramon Foster, the Castro, are really, really good at getting off on the snap count, because Donald is so powerful that if you are late at all, he will get you out of position and you will be in big trouble. I'm interested to see Foster against him, because Foster's so big. Donald is not very tall. It's going to be imperative for him to really get off the ball quickly and try to get his hands and paws on Donald and kind of stop his momentum right away, because if he gets off the ball a little bit late, the size difference, I think the leverage for Donald Like I would have not. I didn't play Donald. I don't think I ever did. I would have struggled against him. I was too tall and at guard, and I think I would have really had a hard time dealing with, you know, the leverage issue. And,
so you have to bulldog him and root him out. Kind of is the only way to get to him.
Well, no, I mean, no. You have to really just get your paws on him right away and stop his pass rush. Not really root him out, but just like get your hands on him and try to, and then also force him back to the center. I think Foster's playing straight. I think they'll be fine. I really do. Because they don't have any other pass rushers to worry about.
Well, there's an interesting twist to this, though, Jeff, in that yesterday at practice, and it may be a Veterans Day off, it may be after effects of the concussion protocol, we don't know. Foster didn't practice at left guard. It was Matt Filer, who's been their right tackle this year, practicing at left guard, who's actually even taller than Ramon.
That's not good.
Yeah.
It's not good. I there's ways to get after him, too. You can trap him and wham him and try to distract him. That's what the Patriots did in the Super Bowl. And there's ways to try to neutralize him. You can get his. You have to make sure that no one else gets theirs. And Ross has to be good at getting the ball out and be on time and make sure he knows that we're the threat of Donald at all times.
Last thing for you, Jeff. I've done this, and I see that you have done it on social media as well. I don't think enough people in sports talk and enough people in media do this, is admit when they were wrong. I was dead wrong about Lamar Jackson. I never thought that his arm could keep up with his legs. I didn't think he could hurt people with his arm. I've absolutely mea culpa from me to this point through eight games, and I see you've pretty much done the same thing.
He's not really hurting people with his arm. That's the thing. He threw for 140 yards the other night. He's doing it with his legs, and that's the thing I didn't think would last. I didn't think that this offense, the way it was constructed, would last. Honestly, in the game on Sunday night, he completed one ball, I think, that went over 5 yards in the air.
See, I thought he would get knocked out by this point. Like, I thought they'd have to take him out in an ambulance.
And so for me, the part I was wrong about most was that the general idea of the offense would work. I think that most of us are pretty right about Lamar Jackson as a passer. It's not pretty. But him in this offense itself is very good because he can run. I think he's much quicker and faster than we think he was going to be. I mean, he's a guy that feels like he plays almost faster than his 40 time, where Kyler Murray feels like he plays kind of slower than his 40 time. Kyler Murray's getting chased down by defensive ends of the Niners the other night, on Thursday night, you know, 2 weeks ago. Lamar Jackson, that's not happening with Lamar. And look, that game was an odd game for the Patriots. A couple mental errors. Obviously, the fumble really hurt them. I'm not terribly concerned if they're in a rematch. I know the stats actually show that Bill Belichick has often lost those rematches later in the year to a team he lost to in the regular season. But I'm not terribly worried about it. The Ravens still have to play a bunch of quality defenses. So we'll see how teams defend them. But I think it's more just the idea of this offense I wasn't really big on. I think that my really thoughts on him as a passer hasn't really changed. He's not an elite passer. They play action pass a bunch, and he hits guys that are open, and he hits guys for, you know, short throws and long games. And so that really hasn't changed my opinion on him.
Jeff Schwartz. Jeff, we thank you again, and we'll talk again next week.
All right, take care, guys.
Thanks, Jeff.
There it is, Jeff Schwartz.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.